Playhouse 90. Tonight, Playhouse 90 presents The House by the Lake by Hugh Mills. A house by a frozen lake. The occupants, Dr. Maurice Holt, many years before struck from the medical register for suspect practices in hypnotism, Stella Holt, the doctor's sister, determined to see that the family is not ruined by their loathsome stepbrother, Colin. Janet Holt, the doctor's neurotic wife, who has suffered mental breakdowns, and whose presence stands between Maurice and Stella's plan to murder. A murder is committed, but not quite in the way intended. And like all crime, it is the seed that leads to the complications of a further crime, and a terrifying climax in The House by the Lake, adapted and produced for Playhouse 90 by Dennis Folbig and directed by David Gooden.
Thought I'd walk across the lawn. Is your brother in?
Maurice isn't up yet, I'm afraid. I know it's after 11, but he goes to bed late, sleeps very little. He hasn't much to get up for these days.
Well, perhaps he has this morning. I like to think so.
Oh, would you like to talk to me about it? I mean, if you're here on business, I may be able to advise you. Oh, do sit down.
All right, thank you, thank you. Well, the fact is, I might be able to help him about his
professional situation?
That's it.
I can't imagine how.
Well, the new chairman of the medical council is Sir Gordon White, a lifelong friend of mine. Well, yes, we're at Eton together. If anyone can help, he can.
Oh, you mean with a view to...
I mean with a view to getting your brother back on the medical register.
Extremely kind of you to have thought of this, but the fact is that Maurice is very sensitive about...
Oh, yes, of course. We should have to be diplomatic, clever. And I'm not very clever.
Let's face the fact, Colonel. My brother has been in disgrace for 10 years. What happened was exceedingly unjust. But you must realize that living under such a cloud as that for so long has had a terrible effect on him.
Yes, quite. Well, I just think it's a very great pity that such a useful life should be, thrown away.
It's more than a pity. It's a crime.
Stella, dear, did you... Oh, Colonel Ford. I didn't know you were here.
Well, good morning, Mrs. Holt.
Do you want to see my husband?
I did, but after talking to your sister-in-law, we think it might be a mistake.
A mistake?
A very great friend of the Colonel's has become chairman of the medical council. The Colonel was wondering whether to approach him.
You mean about Maurice?
Yes.
I've advised against it. Well, you know how Maurice would hate it.
I wonder if you are right. Colonel Forbes, do you know why my husband was struck off the medical register?
Vaguely. I don't know the details, of course.
The whole disaster was caused by Maurice's and Stella's brother, Colin.
Stepbrother.
You haven't met him, have you?
No, I haven't.
He lives at Grey Towers, the big house on the other side of the lake. You can see it from the windows. Colin is a financier. 10 years ago, my husband was treating a patient, Mrs. Hoyle, a widow. He allowed her to invest some money in a company Colin was forming, a few £1,000s. She had insisted upon it, but something went wrong. She lost the money and brought a legal action against my husband. And since he also had shares in the company, it looked very bad. A psychiatrist who influences a patient to invest in... Well, you can see.
Maurice had used hypnosis in treating her. He often did, quite successfully.
You can imagine the headline. defenseless widow swindled by hypnotists, etc. Since then, of course, he's been in disgrace and not allowed to work. But I... Oh, the front door. Excuse me, I'd better answer it. I don't want Morris disturbed. Well, Colonel.
Mrs. Holt seems to know her own mind.
On the contrary.
I beg your pardon?
A mind of her own is exactly what Janet does not have. She was once very ill, you know.
Oh, she looks very fit.
Oh, it wasn't a physical illness. Janet was what is called a manic depressive. She was unhappy to the point of suicide.
What? She tried to commit suicide, Janet Holt. I can't believe that. Oh, but did she really, or just threatened to?
Well, she was found unconscious in a room full of gas with the doors and the windows sealed on two different occasions. I suppose you wouldn't call that a mere threat.
Good heavens, I'd no idea, but... Well, aren't you afraid she'll do it again?
Not at all. It's over, completely. She's cured, thanks to Morris.
Oh, good morning, Carla. Forgive me for receiving you in a dressing gown. I didn't know which day you were coming. I expected you several days ago.
You did? But why?
Well, about a fortnight ago, you mentioned that you knew Sir Gordon White very well.
Yes.
I'd read of his appointment. And then on Sunday night, when we were at your house, you mentioned him again, dragging his name into the conversation with great difficulty. I knew then that you must have in your mind the idea of mentioning me to him.
Good gracious.
So, you see, I expected you to call and talk about it all. And I came down to tell you that you're...
Boy, you're done. Oh, has the Colonel told you?
I have told the Colonel, Janet. I told him what he's come here for, and I was about to tell him that the answer is no.
Are you sure?
It's impossible. No. They turned me out. They wanted to ruin me, and they have.
And all because of your stepbrother, Colin.
Who told you that?
I did, Morris. We were talking before the doorbell rang. I went to...
Well, who was it, Janet?
A man called Howard. He wanted to know where Colin lived. I told him the other side of the lake.
One of his shady cronies, perhaps. I think you should know, Colonel, not only was Colin to blame for everything that happened, but had he wished, he could have saved the situation at that time.
Oh?
He could have thrown in the resources of another of his companies to save the one that was in trouble. He didn't. He made the excuse that it wouldn't be fair to the shareholders to risk a second company. Some years later, we found the second company was himself and his wife.
Oh, that's enough, Stella. I'm sorry all this dirty linen should be washed in front of you, Colonel.
No, no, no.
But now you know the facts. I'm very sorry your visit has been so fruitless.
I understand. Yes, well, I'd better be getting along.
Yes, Stella will see you out.
Of course.
No, 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 it's all right. I came by the French windows. It's quicker the back way.
Oh, very well. Oh, I see they're still skating out there on the lake. Isn't it becoming rather dangerous? It was beginning to pour yesterday.
Chief Magistrate, I'll do something about it. Bye.
Goodbye, Colonel. My kind regards to your wife.
Thank you.
What a kind man. I don't understand why you are so worried about the skating, darling. That's twice you've mentioned it.
Well, we don't want an accident, do we? I warned Colin yesterday it was risky to walk across the ice from his house to this one. It's even more dangerous now. Janet, I'd like to talk to Stella. Would you mind leaving us together for a while?
For long?
Just a few minutes.
Very well. Will you let me know when I can come back?
Now, it's all right. She'll go to her room. Now, Stella, let's go over it all once again. We must think. Think of every possible hitch.
You've thought of everything.
I can't be too careful. Now, Colin will come at about 8 o'clock. No danger of him bringing Iris. He's always said wives should be kept out of business. Anyway, she's going to a whist drive. Now, she won't be home before 11.
We shall finish dinner by 9. I'll leave the table first. I'll prepare coffee in here. You keep him in the dining room until I call you.
How much of the stuff have you got?
2 grains.
Where is it?
Upstairs. I'll put it in my bag before dinner and bring it down.
Yes, I've arranged for Janet to call on the Davidsons. She won't get back before 10:30. Now we're going to say that he never turned up. Right. Now, what about the plates at dinner? The table set for three?
I shall say I'm not well. I shall eat nothing. Three places laid, only two used.
The pathways have all been swept. No footprints on the ice anywhere. There'll be a general thaw soon. The impression will be that he went through the ice on his way here. An ordinary accident. Now, we must ring his house at 9 while you're making coffee. We wouldn't sit here without inquiring where he got to. You think you can go through with this, Stella?
Yes, we've got to.
Yeah, I must have money for Janet. Oh, it's strange how it all seems to come back to Janet. You and I could go to the other side of the world, make a fresh start. But Janet, well, I can't go away and leave her with insufficient means. That's out of the question. I think... Oh, she's coming back.
Is it all right for me to come back now? It was lonely in my room. And I knew you'd have to stop talking because Colin is coming up the garden path.
What? Colin? At this time of day?
Oh, sure, Janet.
I saw him from my window. Look.
Good morning, all.
Oh, how are you, Colin?
I'm well, Janet. I trust you are.
What do you want?
Oh, really? Do try and sound a little more genial, Morris.
Is Iris not with you?
She'll be here in a few minutes. I came across the lake.
You shouldn't. Morris thinks it's dangerous.
How kind of you to think of my safety. I believe you're acquainted with Colonel and Mrs. Forbes, Morris.
Slightly. Janet and Mrs. Forbes are good friends.
Ah, and Mrs. Forbes is on the council. That may be the saving grace.
What are you up to, Colin?
Morris, you remember those shares we have in the Majestic Cinema in the High Street?
I can't sell them. I wish I could.
Well, there's a chance that we can clean up there. But not if the council grants a license for the construction of a bigger cinema and dance hall bang on the opposite side of the street. That license is being asked for. Now, if Janet can persuade Mrs. Forbes...
Oh, Colin, that's monstrous. Mrs. Forbes would never agree to stopping anyone getting a license because it's to your advantage.
It's to your advantage too, Janet. You see, I'm in this to the tune of £12,000, and if I can turn this to my advantage, I'll be in the soup. So will you. Because I'll have to sell this house.
Oh, no. No. No, no. No, you can't. You can't, Morris. Don't let him. You can't. You can't.
Keep calm, Janet. Keep calm.
We can't be turned out of this house. We've lost everything else. Where shall we go? What shall we do?
This house should have come to Morris and me, and you know it. Father was a fool to leave everything to your mother to decide.
I'm not going into past history, Stella. Either you do as I wish, or you will very shortly have no home. Think it over, and be very persuasive with Mrs. Forbes for your own good. Ah, the wife. My dear old Iris got here at last.
Shut up.
Poor old Iris. She was frightened to walk on the ice, so she had to go all the way around by the road.
If you had any breeding, you'd have walked around with me. But of course, you've only the manners of a farmer.
Now, you shut up.
Now, please, excuse me. I don't enjoy the way you treat your wife, Colin. I'll see you tonight.
You'll spoil your makeup, Iris. Won't that be a pity?
Oh, don't speak to me. Colin.
I'll give you 5 minutes to pull yourself together. If you're not ready by then, I'll lunch without you.
Oh, leave me with her for a while, Stella.
Oh, very well. Wait for me, Colin. Let's talk about this transaction in more detail.
Oh, Iris, my dear. How did it start this time?
I told him I didn't want to teach her across 100 yards of ice in these shoes. He swore at me. So why I go on? My nerves can stand it. I could easily make an end of it. Quite easily.
Iris, what are you saying?
Oh, I could have peace, Janet. Possibility of endless peace.
Iris, what are you talking about? What have you?
Morphine.
You have some morphine? Enough to... Where did you get it from?
From Nurse Thompson.
Nurse Thompson has been supplying you with morphine? Only a little at a time. But I've saved it up. Iris, how much have you got?
One capsule will relieve pain. 4 will make you go to sleep. 12 would kill you. And I have 16.
Oh, Iris. Iris, stop it. Stop thinking like that. Well, where are they, these things?
At home. You think I carry them about with me?
You must give them to me, Iris.
To you, of all people.
Oh, you needn't worry. That's all over.
All the same, you did try, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Twice.
Well, then,
but you could give me your morphine quite safely. I no longer see suicide as a solution to an unhappy life. I've come through all that. But you may be in a state that I was. Oh, you probably think in the way I used to think.
But you're happy with your husband. I'm not.
That isn't as true as you think. I'm not happy with Morris. We've been through far too much. Things have been spoiled for us. Oh, please, Iris, forget what I tried to do. I shall certainly never think of that way out again. Iris, will you give me the morphine?
I can't.
Then promise me one thing. That you won't do anything desperate without talking to me first.
Are you coming or not?
I'm coming!
Promise. Promise.
All right, I promise. Goodbye, Janet, darling. Thanks.
And we're going to be late.
All right, get ready to shout! And now what?
Oh, Mr. Howard.
That's right.
You are the man who called earlier, inquiring about Mrs. Collins' house, aren't you?
That's right, sir.
Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Collins was here. He just left with his wife. You missed him.
Oh, yes.
He is coming back here to dine with my husband and his sister this evening. But perhaps you could... But better not. You'd better call at his house across the lake tomorrow. It's none of my business, I know. But do you wish to see Colin about money?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact. He seems to be a difficult man to find, but I'll find him eventually. Perhaps tomorrow. If not tomorrow, well, the day after. Or maybe we'll all meet again later today. Who knows? Oh, good morning, Mrs. Horton. Now, don't bother to see me out. I'll find my own way. We'll meet again soon. Yes, very soon. Goodbye.
Stella, it's too late. Too late. We should have finished dinner at 9. It's 9:25.
There's still an hour. Keep your head, Morris. Go back to Colin. I'll make the coffee and the phone call. Quickly now, you'll become suspicious.
Oh, for heaven's sake, be quick.
Hello? Oh, hello. This is Stella Holt speaking. Who is that? Oh, the maid. Oh, Maisie, is Mr. Colin with you? He's not. I don't understand. He was supposed to be coming here to dinner with Mr. Morris and myself. No. No, he hasn't arrived. It's so late. Well, if he does come in, remind him, will you? He must have forgotten. We'll eat without him. Thank you. Goodbye. Now, a coffee.
I don't really help you, sir, this evening, Colin. It's all double meaning. And what about Iris? The question of Iris doesn't come into it. Iris and I are through.
Why? What happened? We had the biggest flaming row ever. I never want to see her again.
Here, Colin. Have some coffee.
You mean you've thrown her out?
I prefer to say that I asked her to be kind enough to go and live somewhere else. After all, I've supported her for 15 years.
She's done a great deal for you, Colin.
Done a great deal for me, huh? No one's done more for me than I've done for myself. Take this morning. I asked Janet to do a perfectly ordinary piece of business with Mrs. Forbes, and what do I get? A lot of moralizing. You've always been too sorry for yourselves. That's your trouble. You expect me to agree to the sale of the mill so that you can all sit back and do nothing for years. You're always expecting others to do the work, like Iris, whining and whimpering. All she ever does. What am I going to live on, she keeps asking. I don't know, I said. Maybe you'll have to go out and work like everybody else, I said. She didn't like that. Oh, cigarette's not a light. Funny. I don't seem to be able to concentrate. I must like the cigarette. I don't think I want to smoke. After all, I should put it down in the ash.
Is he? Morris, is he?
I think so. I'll see. If you can just...
Oh. What do we do?
Answer it.
I don't think I can.
Then I will.
Hello. No. No, I'm afraid he isn't. No, we were expecting him for dinner, but he didn't turn up. Who's speaking?
Was it?
I didn't say. He hung up. Now, quickly. I must get this body out of here. It's quite dark. It's perfect. Now, let's get on with it. Put my coat on.
Wait. Listen. The car.
You fool. I told you we left it too late. Who is it?
How do I know? It's barely 10 o'clock.
Will you take him off the floor? The large cupboard. They're just about the room. Now, quickly. Help me. His legs.
Oh,
Janet!
There's someone with her!
It sounds like the girl.
Hello. Colonel Forbes brought me home. Mrs. Forbes had a headache. We took her home first.
Evening. Good evening, Colonel.
We had a lovely evening. Wonderful dinner and champagne. Why, Marcus, darling, why have you got your coat on?
I went to the gate to look for Colin.
Oh, you don't mean to say he didn't turn up.
No, I'm afraid he didn't.
Oh, he really is impossible. Will you have a drink, Colonel?
Well...
A whiskey. I think there's some in the cupboard.
No,
There's some out, Janet.
I'll get it. Do sit down, Colonel.
All right, thank you.
Oh, it's a pity you weren't with us this evening, Morris. The conversation at dinner turned to hypnotism. You are the only person who could have talked about it with authority.
Yes, very interesting. Couldn't quite understand some of it. I mean, can you hypnotize anyone?
Oh, provided they wish it. Yes.
And if they don't?
Then you can't. Of course, I'm talking about the first time.
If you've hypnotized someone often, then you can do it whenever you like, and whether they wish it or not. Morris could hypnotize me at this minute, even if I didn't want him to.
Very uncanny.
Someone at dinner was trying to maintain that you could use hypnosis to persuade someone to commit a crime. For example, murder.
Oh. I'm sorry. Your whiskey, Colonel.
Yeah, thanks very much. Very nice. Now, tell me something. If I were harboring a very harmful desire, let's say the desire to do someone in, you could, under hypnosis, relieve me of it?
Yes.
And could you, under hypnosis, on another occasion, give it back to me?
No doubt.
In fact, your power of evil would depend very much on mine.
Exactly.
Yes, very odd. That was a good night, Cap. I must be off now.
Thank you for bringing me home, Cap.
No, don't get up. I can let myself out. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, now, Janet, dear, hadn't you better be going up to bed?
You wish to get rid of me so soon?
Oh, now, Janet, I'm tired.
You're always tired, Morris. Well, I'm tired, too. Tired of being the third person in this household. Very tired of that. I don't see why I should be asked to get out of the way the moment I come home. I've been out of your way all evening. I have to go out sometimes, don't I? Otherwise, I'd never go anywhere. When I come back, I often have an odd desire to talk myself back into your life again. But it's no good. You don't need me, your wife. You have Stella.
Every night you crouch over the fire like a couple of old witches, talking.
Well, you spy upon us, eh? Sneaking out of your room to listen on the stairway. But not tonight. Now go to bed.
Which windows? At this hour? We've been ringing the front doorbell for hours.
Oh, Iris! Whatever's the matter?
I couldn't make you here. We had to come round this way. This gentleman, Mr. Howard.
Ah, how do you know?
We met this morning, but I don't understand. What's wrong?
Mr. Howard's a detective. I'm under arrest.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's not strictly true, sir. No one's under arrest.
But I shall be very soon. I've done it, Janet. I've killed him. I've killed Colin.
Iris, darling. Come, sit down.
Look here, what's all this about?
I've been trying to get in touch with your stepbrother for some days. It's in connection with the falsification of the accounts of the Brocklebank sawmills.
What? Oh, my sister and I are part owners. We've been trying to get Colin to sell.
Oh. Did you know that certain checks have been forged in connection with that company?
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so. I went back to your brother's house this evening. He was out.
Yes, he was to have come here, but he didn't.
I waited, but Mrs. Holt came back. She told me something rather sensational.
Well, I told you what I'd done, that's all. Why didn't you arrest me? Oh, Janet. Janet, I put morphine in his whiskey flask. You know he always carries it.
Morphine? Where did you get morphine
from?
Oh,
she got it from Nurse Thompson, who had no right to let her have it.
We've asked Nurse Thompson to come over here. We telephoned her before we left. Do you mind if we open this door so we can hear her when she rings the front door?
Iris, tell me what happened.
He had a dreadful scene. He started to knock me about, and then when he went out of the room, I saw his whiskey flask. I was boiling with hatred. I put all the morphine into it. I went out of the house. I just walked. I think I went into a church. I can't remember. I just walked for hours, and then I went back home. I saw Mr. Howard there. I told him that.
Oh, now, dear. But where is Colin? We must find him. He may not have touched the flask yet. Where is he? He was supposed to come here. Where is...
Oh, that'll be Nurse Thompson.
I'll go.
Ah. Cigarette, anyone?
No, thank you. I don't.
Mr. Holt?
No, neither do I.
This way, Nurse. Evening, all. Now, what can I do for you?
Oh, Nurse, this is Mr. Howard. He's from the police. He wants to ask you some questions.
Why? What's happened?
There seems to be the possibility that Mr. Colin Oates has been murdered.
Oh? Well, I can't say that I'm surprised. If anyone asked for it, he did. Who do you think did it?
I did.
Nurse, what? You've been visiting Iris Holt for some time. She's been allowed to have small quantities of morphine?
Yes, that's so.
Mm-hmm. Given to her by you a little at a time.
Yes.
Until about 6 months ago, when the doctor said she wasn't to have any more.
Yes. Go on.
Some weeks ago, she began to ask for more morphine again. It was forbidden. Did she ask you to procure some for her? In small doses?
Yes.
You had no right to do that.
Maybe not. However, it doesn't worry me. I've nothing on my conscience. It wasn't morphine that I gave her. It was caster sugar.
Oh, no.
True.
You realize what you're talking
about? Oh, I'm sorry, Iris, dear, but I was afraid you were collecting the morphine. I didn't know why. I didn't think you were collecting it for your husband. In fact, to be frank, I thought you intended it for yourself. So, I bought the capsules empty from the chemist's, and I filled them with caster sugar.
And they were quite harmless.
Quite.
Dear, don't let on. He's all right.
There. Well, that rather alters the look of things, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid you've had quite a lot of trouble for nothing, Mr. Howard.
Oh, yes, perhaps. But there's still the other little matter of a forged check to go into when your stepbrother turns up, isn't there?
Well, he won't come here tonight. Not this hour.
Then perhaps I should take Mrs. Hawk back home. He may turn up there.
Oh, yes, yes. Will you go with them, Janet? Look after Iris.
Of course. Come on, Iris, dear. We'll take you home. All right now?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right. I'm so sorry, Morris and Stella, to disturb your evening like this. You forgive me?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Of course we do. Go home to bed now. I'll come with you. I'll give you an injection. Make you sleep. That will do you good, won't it? Come on, then.
Well, good night, then.
Good night. I shan't be long, Morris.
All right, then.
Morris, I'm sorry I spoke as I did about you and Stella. I think I may have had too much champagne. Please say you forgive me. You may be in bed by the time I get back.
I forgive you, Janet. There. That better?
Oh, thank you. What possessed me suddenly to behave like that? I can't imagine. You must admit it. It isn't like me.
Subconscious, perhaps.
Good night, Stella.
Good night, Janet, darling.
If it was my subconscious, Morris, then it's all your fault. I consider my subconscious to be your affair.
Morris, what can we do?
We carry on as though nothing had happened. It's the only thing we can do. Now, the cupboard. Come on, give me a hand.
One moment. Oh, Mr. Howard, do come in.
Good evening, Mrs. Holt.
Good evening. If you want my husband and Stella, I'm afraid you're too late. They were called on to the police station. Inspector Edwards asked for them. Oh, we've been answering questions all day. Ever since they found Colin's body in the lake. Oh, what a terrible day it's been.
I do sympathize. I just left Colin Holt's house. I came across the lake.
Oh, you didn't. You walked across the ice after what happened last night.
I examined the ice very carefully this morning when your brother-in-law's body had been taken away. I even jumped up and down on it. It didn't break. Strange, isn't it? Oh, have you any cigarettes? I seem to have run out.
Oh, of course.
No, thank you. Yes, you're the only one in the house who smokes, aren't you?
Oh, yes. How did you know?
I offered a cigarette to your husband and his sister last evening. They said they didn't.
Mr. Howard, why have you come here? Well, what are you trying to tell me?
It's strange. If we hadn't had that curious incident last evening when Iris Holt confessed to attempting to kill her husband, I suppose all this would have passed on as just another accident, death by drowning. But an autopsy was performed on Colin Holt. He was already dead when he entered the water.
Oh, no.
Also, he had been poisoned.
Oh, but You mean Nurse Thompson and Iris?
The police are working on the theory that the nurse was lying to protect Iris. They've both been arrested.
Oh, no. No. Oh, poor Iris. What? I must tell my husband to telephone him at the police station.
Wait, don't do that. You'll know by now. The reason I called was because I knew he and Stella would be out. I wanted to talk to you.
Why?
Because of the three people who live in this house, only you have an alibi.
What are you suggesting? What do you mean?
Do you think it possible that Colin Hope did come here to dinner last night?
Oh, good heavens, no. Of course not.
You ever smoke cigarettes with filter tips?
No, never.
There was a filter tip cigarette in this ashtray last evening.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive. Colin Holt smoked filter tips. Of course, that's not enough to prove that he was here last night. But this could be.
What is it?
It's a cigarette lighter. His initials are on it, look. You recognize it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. It was Colin's. But where did you...
I found it on the path. It's gold, you see. Against the snow by the woodshed. Of course, it could have been dropped there yesterday morning.
Oh, no, it couldn't. Because when he was here yesterday morning, I remember him using it.
Ah.
He lit a cigarette for me. And when he left, with that lighter in his pocket, he left by way of the front garden on his way to town.
Thank you, Mrs. Holt. You've been most helpful.
But even if he did come here last night, it was still Iris who put morphine in
his... Oh, forget about the morphine. I found the flask of whiskey that she doctored. It was in his cupboard. Hadn't been touched. And anyway, the poison was a large quantity of hyoscine, not morphine at all. It was hyoscine, administered in coffee, most likely. After dinner coffee?
Oh, Mr. Howard, I'm frightened. Morrison Stella, it isn't possible.
Keep calm, Mrs. Holt. Now, you've got to help me. Listen carefully, there's no time to lose. If you confront your husband and his sister with this, there'll only be unpleasantness. If they're innocent, they'll be bitterly hurt. And if they're guilty, they're bound to lie.
What shall I do?
Leave this lighter in a place where Colin might have dropped it. Observe them both. If they've nothing to hide, they'll say, oh, great heavens, look at this, it's Colin's lighter. If they take it and conceal the fact, then they do know. Well?
Where shall I hide it?
On the floor, near the chair where the ashtray is. That's where he must have sat.
Oh, they're back.
Oh, now, quickly, quickly, plant the light.
Oh.
I'll let myself out through the French windows. Now, here, take this card. It's got my phone number on it. Ring me later. Now, quickly.
Oh, I can't do this. It's too horrible, but I must know.
Janet, Iris and Nurse Thompson have been arrested.
I don't understand.
Colin was poisoned.
Oh, no.
When the nurse was questioned last night, she obviously told the first lie that came into her head. She gave Iris hyoscine, not morphine.
So you believe that Iris is guilty? But if she did, how did she get Colin into the lake?
Well, no doubt she and the nurse smashed a hole in the ice and put him in.
Oh, but Iris isn't very strong.
Oh, Nurse Thompson is.
But why didn't Iris confess that part of it, too? There was no reason not to have told us where the body was. Surely she would have come out with everything. And why didn't the nurse...
Please, Janet, for heaven's sake. We just had a whole day of questioning. Now, please. Don, I'm sorry. Pour me a drink, will you?
Oh, yes, dear. Yes, very well. The usual?
Yes. Yes, please, the usual.
Morris, the lighter on the floor.
Is it all right, Stella?
Hey, don't drown it.
Did you want a drink, Stella?
No, thank you.
Well, what's the next step, Morris?
The inquest tomorrow.
Shall we have to go?
Oh, no doubt. Well, I think I'll go to my room.
No, Morris. Morris? No, no, please.
What is it now?
I saw you. In the mirror as I poured the drink, you picked up Colin's lighter from the floor and slipped it into your pocket.
What are you talking about?
Don't lie to me. I knew it was there.
What is this, a trap?
Morris, I must know. Was Colin here last night?
Janet, dear, your imagination must be running away.
No, it's not. I know that was Colin's lighter. I found it outside by the woodshed. I knew Colin couldn't have dropped it there yesterday morning, but because he left by the front way.
This is new for you, the role of a sleuth. Do you think Stella and I know more than we're telling you?
Oh, you must do. Oh, Morris, why don't you tell me the truth? Give me some proof.
Proof of what?
That Colin didn't come here last night. Proof that Iris isn't going to be accused of murder, if she's innocent.
But Iris herself confessed that she'd done it.
I suggest you leave this to the proper authorities to investigate. You are hardly mentally equipped, are you, for the task of a judge?
You mean I'm not to mention this at the inquest?
Have you mentioned it to anyone else? About finding the lighter, I mean?
How could I? I haven't been asked.
Then don't.
But Morris, I must. If it's going to help Iris, I must.
Must?
Oh, Morris. Morris, did Colin come here last night?
No.
But that isn't true. I know it isn't.
I said no.
Oh, it isn't any use, Morris. I know he came here. It's not only the lighter. There was one of his cigarettes in that ashtray there when I came in with the other four. Oh, I wish I didn't know. I didn't try to find out anything. It is. Too much responsibility for one person. With poor little Iris at the police station, it's so much for me. Oh, dear
mother. Well, heaven help us now.
How did that lighter get into the garden?
Well, it must have dropped from his pocket when I was carrying him.
I suppose she hasn't told anyone else.
I don't think so. No, for the moment we're safe. Janet mustn't leave the house, though, or tell... The telephone. She mustn't use the telephone.
Now, let's see.
What are you doing?
I'm pulling out the cords. It's dangerous to have the phone working with an extension upstairs. That's it. Leave it as though it's recognition.
I don't see how that can help us. Only until tomorrow. It won't stop Janet saying all she knows at the inquest.
Janet won't go to the inquest.
How could you let that lighter drop into the snow, dropping things?
It's so dark. And what about you not spotting his unlit cigarette in the ashtray? She must have seen it as soon as she came in.
Morris, please, let's not quarrel. Let's keep our heads.
I wonder if she knows anything else.
She knows enough. We shall never have another minute's peace as long as she lives.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I've been thinking.
What do you mean, Morris?
Can't you guess?
You wouldn't. You don't mean... You're going out of your mind. That's all we need to bring Scotland Yard into it. Even if it looked like an accident, even if it were an accident, who'd ever believe it was? Are you insane?
Keep calm, Stella, and listen to me. An accident? No. No, they wouldn't believe it, I agree. But suppose Janet killed herself?
They wouldn't believe that either. I tell
you... Now, wait. Suppose Janet committed suicide here, tonight, while you and I were sitting in the other room with a reliable witness.
It isn't possible.
Oh, yes, it is. It's perfectly possible. Now, listen.
Telephone's still out of order, Jan.
Morris, I didn't hear you.
Did you want to speak to someone?
No, I was just wondering if we'd been reconnected. So many people must be wanting to call us.
Oh, I don't know.
Where is Stella?
I don't know.
Is that the truth?
Do you think I'm telling you nothing but liars? It's been a day of accusations, hasn't it?
I didn't want to accuse you.
It's very strange that you should have to do so. But, of course, circumstantial evidence is invariably confusing. Two or three trivial things, which may have some quite different explanation from the one you attribute to them, are enough, once the imagination has begun to work.
I don't see any other explanation.
Do you still feel convinced that Colin met his death in this house? You've been alone here for several hours now. What conclusion have you come to?
I don't know what to think. I've been trying to sort things out. I tell myself it must be so, and then I tell myself it can't be. And now, Morris, I wish you'd talk to me. I feel so terribly alone.
You're overtired, yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. You didn't sleep at all last night. You haven't eaten anything all day. Can you expect your judgment to be anything but muddled? I think I'd better put you to sleep and make you rest, don't you?
You mean artificially?
Yeah, it's always helped you to rest, hasn't it?
I could sleep without help. Why do you want to put me to sleep?
Because you're tired. So tired you don't know what you're saying. Look at me. Now listen. Sleep is all you care about. There is nothing left except a great desire for sleep. Now, when I complete the count of five, you'll fall into a light and restful sleep. Now, look at me. One, two...
Morris.
Three,
Morris.
Four, five... You are only hearing my voice. Your eyes have closed. You're asleep. Relax. Sleep. Now, when I say open your eyes, you will be able to do so. But you will still continue to sleep. Now, you're very glad you let me put you to sleep, aren't you?
Yes, Morris.
Open your eyes.
That. Now I'm going to place a hand on your head and you'll go into a deeper sleep. Understand?
Yes, Morris.
A very deep, deep sleep indeed. I'm going to suggest to you, you no longer remember anything of the present. You don't even know the date. Not the month or the year. Can you remember?
No.
You're back in the past. You will feel just as you did years ago when you were unhappy. Bitterly unhappy. Remember?
Yes. I was. I am unhappy. Bitterly unhappy.
Now think of all the things you should tell me. I'm your doctor. Dr. Holt. Aren't I?
Yes. Dr. Holt.
Forbes is here.
I must... Yes, she's under. Now listen. Tell him Janet is very depressed because of what has happened. Say that I am reasoning with her and we'll join you in a few minutes. Now, when I do come in, alone, don't leave the room. We must both be with Colonel Forbes when it happens.
Yes. I understand. Was that your
wife, Dr. Holt? My sister. Now, don't worry about her. Tell me about yourself.
I'm done for, Dr. Holt. Finished. I should never have grown up. I knew when my mother killed herself. I was 14. But I should have died too. Is suicide an evil thing, Doctor? Men say so. But if death is only an eternal, dreamless sleep, what is there to lose? Why can't people without hope lie down and sleep?
There's nothing wrong in that.
Is my case hopeless, Dr. Holt?
Hopeless. Your mother killed herself. It would be foolish to pretend that you will not do the same. Now, if I provide the means, would you be happy to leave this world where you're so out of place?
Oh, yes. I would. I would.
Here's the revolver. It's loaded. Now, listen carefully. Hold the revolver in your right hand.
Yes.
That's it. Now, I shall go out of the room. When you hear the door close, you will start to count.
Start to count.
You will count to 60. As you count, you will raise the revolver to your forehead. And when you reach 60, and not before, you will press the trigger. Understand?
I understand. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you.
I'm going now. Start to count when the door closes.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
All right, you're taking the list. Calmly now, calm. Just the doctor.
Mr. Holt speaking. Calm now.
Great, what's happening?
I cannot wait.
That's better. Now, give me the revolver. Come. We don't want to do that, after all. Quiet. Now, calm.
I could have done it. I could. Dr. Holt, don't leave me.
I won't. Be calm now.
Colonel Forbes, when you were invited here this evening, you didn't realize you were to have witnessed a so-called suicide. I only came myself because I rang up Mrs. Holt about a piece of evidence, a cigarette lighter. The telephone was disconnected, and that made me uneasy. I got here just in time.
But why should she try to kill herself?
She's in an hypnotic trance, Colonel Forbes. There's a police car outside, Dr. Holt. You and your sister are under arrest, and I must warn you...
All right. Let me wake Janet.
Very well.
Janet, we are no longer in the past. We are no longer unhappy. You are forward in time to the day after Colin's death. Now, when I put my hands on your head, you will awaken. You will forget the past and its sorrows. Never recall them again. You will look forward to the future with courage. Think of the future with happiness. You will not remember a single thing about this evening.
If you don't mind, no amnesia. Her evidence may be needed.
No, it won't. No, Mr. Howard. You see, I intend to plead guilty. You may wake up now, Janet. Wake up now.
Tonight's Playhouse presentation of The House by the Lake, you heard Edna Jacobson as Janet Holt, Rex Garner as Maurice, and Patricia Saunders as Stella. Colin Holt was played by Dale Cutts and Iris by Diane Wilson. Others in the cast were Kenneth Baker, Paddy Cunneman, and George Carillon. The House by the Lake by Hugh Mills was adapted and produced for Playhouse 90 by Dennis Faulbig, and directed by David Gooden.